new series here this morning. It's called Whole. I think, do we have the series slide? And so we absolutely ripped off the Whole Foods logo. And I don't know if that's legal or not, but we did it. But I'm not sure how many have been to Whole Foods before. So you'll understand me on this. For those of you not, you need to go there this week and see. My daughter Cassie has drank the Kool-Aid at Whole Foods, so now like that's the only place we go, and now we get half the groceries for twice the price is what we used to do. And so I heard one comedian said it this way: that going to Whole Foods is a lot like going to Vegas. He says this. He says you feel good going there, but then when you leave, you feel broke, disoriented, and possibly violated. Right? After going to Whole Foods, and I've experienced that before. Like when you go to Whole Foods and then you're to the checkout aisle, the reason why they call it Whole is because when you're like, okay, so what do I owe you for the groceries? And they're just like, Whole. Whole. Just put the whole thing in there, right? You empty your whole wallet in there. And so my daughter, we found out that the word for organic is Latin for meaning rip you off. So that was about it. But that's my stand-up for this morning. But really the series Whole is we wanted to take the next 2 to 3 weeks and really describe humanity, that God has made us. We're a three-part being, that we have a spirit, a soul, in a body, but we're one. It's like we worship God, that's Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, yet it's one God we worship. In the same way, humanity, mankind, that we're a three-part being, that we are a spirit, and that we possess a soul, and we live inside of a body, but where those things should never be fractured or void of the other. We should work in harmony and unity, all three our three-part type being. And so I went to a funeral this past week. A dear friends of ours, their father died, and we went, and it was really a kind of a neat moment. Like when we went to the funeral site, he was a military vet. And so they actually had the gun salute, and it was a little bit alarming because when they shot the gun off, like the crowd was standing here, and the guy's like aiming the gun right over all our heads here, and he was kind of an older gentleman, and so he was shaking a little bit like that. So I was kind of ready to get down and hit the dirt, but it was really like this beautiful fall moment, and you know, as everybody was gathered around the gravesite and they gave the American flag, it was powerful. But the night before we went to the wake. And as you go to the wake, it was an open casket, and it was interesting when you look in there. Like I saw Billy's body, but it wasn't him. Do you see the difference? And so we saw his body was there, but it wasn't him, because we were meant to be whole, spirit, soul, and body together as one. And so we want to talk about that. And our anchor text is going to be 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. And it says this, Paul says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if I can just, we're gonna talk about the spirit this morning. But once again, it's hard to talk about one without the other. Like, so intertwined are your spirit and your soul that the book of Hebrews talks about the word of God is sharp like a sword, and that it can even divide soul and spirit. It's like they're so closely combined together, and so we can't talk about one without talking about the other. And when you talk about the spirit and the soul, it inevitably is going to affect your body. And so if you need to get like a definition, we'll just say that the soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. Our body would be our physical, like our five senses, for example, our sensory mechanisms. And then the spirit is going to be that part of our humanity that was designed to walk in unity and relationship with Almighty God. And the spirit was designed to integrate the body and the soul. In other words, the spirit was supposed to lead your life and tell the soul and the body how to function and keep them together. And so if A lot of the times, I think I quoted this, that Paul says this, that we're to keep in step with the Spirit. And so the idea is that as spirit beings, we have the ability to connect and to walk with God. And Paul would say this, we need to keep in step with the Spirit. And so when our inner man keeps in step, then we can keep our soul, our mind, will, and emotions, and our body in line with what God would want to do. And when we do that, it's almost as if we're walking in God's heavenly dance. And if you think that sounds weird, I'll prove it to you, because there's a guy much smarter than me. His name is C.S. Lewis, and he actually refers to humanity within him, or excuse me, the Godhead within himself, that there's a heavenly dance going on. So do we have any dancers in here? I know I have one in the front, Dottie. Dottie, if she had her way, she'd be dancing the whole worship, but she's doing great. And so listen, I got one move. Just so you know, I'll step out. I got, so here it is. Works like this. And then we pop it out. All right. But when that's done, I'm done. Right. I got one move. I go to that. And then I kind of walk away cool. Like they think I can dance and I can. All right. I got nothing else. And so that's my move. But God's move is this. Within the Trinity is what's called the Trinitarian love. It's called perichoresis. We've talked about this before, but it's this other focused love within the Godhead. And so the God the Father is always loving on and focused on the Son, who's focused on the Spirit, who's always pointing back to the Father. And we see this heavenly dance taking place. And really, out of the dance of God, we get all of creation. That between this love dance in the Trinity, that it spills over onto the canvas of creation, and it begins to create everything that you and I see today. That it creates, it says that God creates, and it was good, and it was good. And so there's this beautiful rhythmic dance to Genesis chapter 1 until God creates humanity. And it says that God, he forms man from the dust of the earth, and then he breathes into him the breath of life, and man became a living being. And in that moment, God invites humanity to join him in his dance. And so man joins in, and we see in Genesis 1 and 2, there's this beautiful rhythm, and that humanity is actually mirroring the image of God in the earth, imaging his dance as he's led by the Spirit of God. And so it's this beautiful scene we call it shalom. It's the Hebrew word for peace. It means that there's nothing broken and nothing lacking during this time until we see Genesis chapter 3. And for the first time in your scripture, in your Bible, you'll see that suddenly God is void of the story. And now we see Adam and Eve suddenly has a new dance partner, that they're listening to a serpent. And then we know the story that they eat of the forbidden fruit. They actually bow out of the dance of God. They say, no, thank you, God. I can do this one on my own. And so what happens then is they're thrust out of the Garden of Eden. That Eden means, the word means delight, that there's this delightful place as we're in unity and unison with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And suddenly that's broken off, and we're cast from the presence of God. And we talk at length that the book of Ecclesiastes says that we have this God hole inside of all of our heart, and there's this inner longing that sometimes, if you're not familiar with the gospel, you can't put your finger on it. So we know Bono, he said, what, I still haven't found what I'm looking for, right? You guys don't know that one? All right, it's getting dated now. So, but we also, if you went down after 9/11 and you went down to Ground Zero, and it was amazing that there is this unbelievable hush, this silence, as people look down at the giant crater, and there was this faint remembrance of what used to be. And at a very deep level, humanity is aware that we were designed to dance with God. We were designed to do life with our Creator. And if you get a chance this week, read John chapter 3. It's the story of Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was a Pharisee, and so he was the religious elite. He was this guy they memorized the first five books of the Old Testament, that they were unbelievably disciplined And they were like, I'm gonna take care of this void by my own will. I'm gonna will myself into happiness or fulfillment. And then Nicodemus, he comes to Jesus at night and he's like, hey, knocks on his door and he's like, hey, I've been trying to do this religion thing. I feel like I'm doing it pretty good, but why am I still lacking? And Jesus is gonna say to him this, he's gonna say, listen, no man can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. No man can enter into the kingdom of God unless he's born again. That something has to take, there needs to be this connection inside of our spirit with Almighty God. Kim, we just sang about it, that I am yours and you are mine, right? And if that's not you this morning, you're not the guy who, listen, I'm just going to discipline my way into fulfillment. You might be the other way, where in John chapter 4, Jesus approaches a woman at a well, and she's on husband number 5. And Jesus asks her, and this is a paraphrase, but hey, how is that working out for you? Because you seem to try and fill this void in your heart with men, and over again you find out it doesn't work, yet you still keep going back to that well. And so once again, Jesus says, hey, I'll give you water. You'll never thirst again. In other words, I'm what you're looking for. You're looking for union with me. And so finally in John chapter 20, Jesus resurrected. He goes to the cross and pays the price for our sin and debt. And then he sees his disciples and something odd happens. You can trace this all the way back to Genesis, that it says that Jesus, when he sees his disciples, he breathes on them. And he says, to receive the Holy Spirit. And so once we see Jesus connecting it back to as when God breathed into humanity, now the resurrected Christ breathes back into man. He more or less invites us back in to the dance. That Jesus, he made a way for us to dance with Almighty God again. Union with God was made available through the cross and through the Christ. And so I already illustrated the fact that I cannot dance, but I don't know why, but about 4 years ago, if you don't know that, we get to steward, Pastor Shino and I, we steward the New York Jets, we get to be their chaplains, and so I thought it would be a good idea that we could get their couples together, and we'll do a dance lesson. And so, anyone ever seen that show, Dancing with the Stars? I remember I thought, this is the lamest show ever. And then my wife got me watching it. And then I was like, I love it, because I would want to mock all the people that look like idiots when they're trying to dance. And then when we did this Dancing with the Stars thing, we did a dance lesson. And here's what I realized, is it was a horrible idea. Because these were athletes in season. And so we had one guy, Brad Smith, was a wide receiver, special teams player. He had these giant pointy shoes on, and his wife decided to take her heels off. And so Susan will attest to this, that the girl got her toe broken as the woman, Brad, stepped on his wife's toe, and so she's in the corner crying, but we're going to keep the dance going. Mike DeVito, a 330-pound lineman, as he was dancing, I guess the floor wasn't created for a 330-pound man trying to dance like this, and as God is my witness, the floor came apart, because they were connected like a puzzle, and by the time he was done, the floor was split out like this, so it was a very bad idea what we were doing. But then the instructor, her husband couldn't make it, so I had to be the prop. And so I was supposed to lead in the waltz and stuff like that. Well, I just don't know what I'm doing the whole time. And so I'm sweating, I'm exhausted, and here's what I realized. I can't lead. You lead. And so I became the woman, and she was the man, and she led me through it. And guess what? I'm okay with that. Don't judge me, all right? And so in the same way, we need to come to the revelation that we're not good at leading, but we're designed to follow. You know, that humanity, we've been designed to be dependent on Almighty God, and when we do, it works real well. And so when we keep in step with the Spirit, and then our spirit man leads our soul, which can lead our body, we're what's called whole, the way God designed. And so if you have your Bible, go to Psalm 131, Psalm 131. And what we're going to read is we're going to read a song by David, right? This is David's kind of dance grooves this morning. And David, he did real good. And so some of you guys might have learned the Dougie. Does anyone know how to do the Dougie or any of that? You remember that? No? So the Dougie, you're going to learn the David this morning, all right? And this is Psalm 131 written by David. And it begins like this. It says, my heart is not proud, O Lord, and my eyes are not haughty. And so here's what that means is this is David begins by just saying, identifying the fact that when mankind fell, when we sinned against God, it's what happened is what theologians call the incurvature of the soul. That suddenly we were designed to love God and to love people, and instead our eyes curved in on ourselves, and now we became self-centered, self-focused. I was talking to Bob. Bob's getting his shoulder rehab, and it's not going as smooth as he wants. And I don't know about you, man, but like I was good during the day after my back surgeries. But man, at night I was just killer. I was just like couldn't sleep, couldn't. And I asked my doctor. I was like, Doc, you got to give me something to sleep because this is just misery. And here's what he said. He says it's normal because number one, at night your body naturally inflames, and number two is this. Your mind at night has nothing to distract it from the pain or what's wrong on the inside of you. And suddenly at night, all it can do is focus on that thing that's wrong. And in the same way, do you know that when we turn in on ourselves, we're suddenly aware of self to a point where it's painful and detrimental to ourselves. So I'll prove it to you this way. So you guys might not know this, but you have a spleen. Do you know that? Like, and the only reason you know that is because you went to biology class, all right? You're not aware of your spleen. Does anyone feel their spleen right now? The only way you do is if your spleen is sick. Something's wrong with it. Because it's on the inside of you. You're not designed to be aware of that. But isn't it odd that we're all so unbelievably self-aware? Like, isn't it? Like, this is a safe place to not be okay. I remember as we're going to the funeral, have you ever gone to a funeral and you got to go through the wake and you go through the line of the people you have to meet and say, we're sorry about that. You meet the family. Well, I'm going through the line and I'm worried about me. But boy, I hope I look okay doing that. I'm like, oh, does my breath smell? I'm worried about how I'm going to present to these people until I hear the Holy Spirit be like, hey man, it's not about you. This is about them. And it was the most unbelievably freeing thing to not think of me, but rather to think on somebody else. It set me free from the exhausting thing of trying to always worrying about you. And if you think, man, pastor's selfish, when you get a picture and you're in it, who's the first person you look at? All right, I rest my case. All right, self-centeredness. But David says, my eyes, I'm going to fix them on you. I'm going to fix my eyes on you. And here's the way we do that is through the Word of God and through prayer. Like, isn't it amazing? We spend all this time, at least I think we do, on worrying about our outside. What, you know, our body, we want to get ripped abs and our nutrition and stuff like that. But yet, how little time we spend on our inner man, on our spirit, and yet we're supposed to be led by this Spirit. Some of you, your spirit hasn't eaten in years, and yet you want it to go lead your life, and you're wondering why sin is kicking your butt, how these habits are kicking your butt. It's because you haven't ministered to and fed your spirit. And as we get into the Word of God in prayer, what happens is it gets our eyes off of us and get them on God Almighty and onto other people, and it absolutely will set us free. It's what we've been designed to look like and to how we've been designed to function. Here's what that'll do. As we're talking about being whole, do you know what? You'll be free to be, now I'm going to do how I worded this, that you're free to be fully attentive to God and other people. Like, to me, that's the most, husbands, have you ever been to this place where your wife's talking to you and yet ESPN's on? And as men, we can't multitask. And so we're at this choice where we need to make a decision. Am I going to listen to ESPN or my girl? And inevitably, you know, the sports takes over. And then she asks you, you're like, no, I heard you. I heard, well, what did I say? And then I'm just like, and then you just, you just do your, I realize you do a circle, like, because then you're not committed to yes or no. It's just, you can go either way, right? And so that's what we do. Why? Because we're here, but we're not here. But the great thing is when we're not worried about self, man, I can be fully engaged in you. I can be fully present for you. And it's a gift from Almighty God. So David says, he goes on in Psalm 131, he says, I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. That David is more or less saying, God, I'm going to fix my eyes on you. And then there's this realization as he looks at God, he goes, I'm not God. And so that might seem like a very simple statement, and none of you would articulate with your mouth, hey, I'm not God. If you did, we could just file you in as crazy, and we would invite you to go to a different church, right? But was that too real? Sorry about that. There's no guests here, so I thought we were good. So, but you say, I'm not God. You live your life in such a way where you kind of believe you are. Like everything kind of depends on you. Jesus is going to say this. At one point, he's going to say, why are you worried about tomorrow? Like, you can't change anything. You can't change even the color of your hair. And so by worrying about tomorrow, what the heck good is it? The idea, when you realize that, hey, tomorrow is God's business, once again, unbelievably freeing for us. As we talk about being whole, you know, what happens is when you're not worried about the past or worrying about the future, but you're fully present now, wow, that's unbelievable gift from God. You're a whole being when you can be fully present in the moment. It's like suddenly, like, you can taste your food again, that relationships are that much richer. Like, I look at my kids, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, my babies are all grown up. It's like, where did all that time go? And I realize, you know, a lot of times you're never really fully in the moment, but you're worried about tomorrow or maybe what you did in the past, and it robs you of today. And so it's an unbelievably great gift from God. Paul got a hold of this. In Philippians chapter 3, and we referenced it last week, he says, this is what I do. He says, I forget what's behind, and I strain towards what's ahead. But it's interesting, if you read that word in the Greek, the word straining for what's ahead, it doesn't mean in the future. It means for what's directly in front of me. Paul says, I'm going to be unbelievably present just in my moment, because I have no assurance of tomorrow, so I'm just going to own today. And so that's what Paul does. So David says, I'm not God, but was made for God. Here's what's interesting is, see, he was able to, he recognized the fact that it's okay to be dependent upon God. We referenced it, that we were designed to be dependent on God. And when you understand that, once again, it's freeing, because there's so many circumstances out of our power. I'm going to use a great example for you. We just got off the Destiny series, and we're talking about Israel's trip into their promised land, and we reference this character Moses, right? And Moses, like, if you think you have a lot of responsibility or a lot of pressure on your life, no. Like, listen to Moses' deal. Moses was responsible for 3 million people. 3 million. So that makes your three kids sad. All right, 3 million people. He needed 4,000 tons of wood per day in order for life to continue. Did I mention he's in a wilderness, in a desert? Like, I don't even know where that comes from. That he needed 15,000 tons of food. Once again, you thought your food bill was big, right? 15,000 tons. He needed 11 million gallons of water per day in a desert. And so, can you see, boy, that it's so important to cast your cares upon the Lord. Moses, they're all looking to Moses. Moses is like, don't look at me, look at him. He's the one who's got to do it, because that's a crushing weight for you to have to be God. And so, aren't you glad when you can just let God be God? And so, he wants us to lean on him. He says, ask, seek, and knock. He says this, to cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. When Jesus taught us to pray, how did he teach us to pray? Lord, give us today our daily bread. Lord, I'm trusting you to give me, take care of me today. So that's what we need to do. And then Psalm 131, verse 2, moving on, that David says this, but I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. And so here's what, and I've been beating this horse to death, but we need to get this, is that you're designed to be led by the Spirit that follows the Spirit of Christ, right? We've been designed to do that. But when we don't, then what happens? Then we're forced to either be led by our soul or by our body, or whichever one makes the most noise on the inside. Have you ever been there before? Like, that always goes bad for you. If you're led by your soul or by your body, it's going to be a car wreck. This is going to go easier in New York because Susan wasn't going to be here. But so I realized, like, I don't really own cars. They're Susan's cars, and she lets me drive them, right? And so she's got a nice car. And so in this car, you're not supposed to put regular gas in it. Ooh, only high octane, 93, right? And so she's always on me. If you're going to fill up my car, you better put high octane in it. And so I'm like a tightwad and all that. But I know she's going to ask me. So I inevitably do it, except for the other day we were strapped. And so I had like $20 and I'm like, I am not putting high octane in this car. And so I go to the place and it's a Russian guy who's working there. I said, $20 a regular. And inside I'm like, please don't let her ask me. Please don't let her ask me. Please don't let her ask me. And then the guy pumps the gas. He comes back and as God is my witness, he sticks his head in the window, grabs the 20. He goes, hey, this is a very nice car. You should not put that gas in there like that. And so everyone's telling me, hey, you can do that, but eventually you're going to wreck your car. And you can be led by your soul. You can be led by your body. And you might get away with it for a little while, but eventually you're going to wreck your car. And so have you ever seen somebody led by their soul, that they're led by their emotions? I mean, and have you ever been there? Listen, that's terrifying. Emotions are random. Like, have you ever just woke up and you're like grouchy and you just don't know why? You're just grouchy. You're probably going to sin against somebody real soon and you better get that fixed. Or now, ladies, just pump the brakes. Don't get mad. I live in a home full of women. And so that there's certain times of the month when emotions are just kind of all over the place like that, right? And it's okay because I'm empathetic now. I remember we were trying to have a third child and I had to go on kind of all these weird drugs and all these hormones were shooting through my body. This is back when I'm playing pro hockey. And so I told my wife, babe, I can't play pro hockey and be on these drugs because at one moment I'm crying on the ice and then the next minute I want to fight somebody, you know? It's just like this rage swings. And so I was like, couldn't do it. But it's insane to want to be led by your emotions. Or how about led by your mind? Now listen, that sounds great if you're omniscient, but we're us, right? Like if to be led by your mind, sometimes you're wrong. Do you know that there was a time when men thought it was a great idea to insulate our homes and buildings with asbestos? Like, they just thought that was smart. And see, the Bible would say it this way. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. And so if you're omniscient, leading by your mind is great, but we're not, and so it's problematic. And then lastly, have you ever seen somebody just led by their body, led by their flesh? And here's what you do. You'll consume and consume and consume until you yourself are consumed. You plug in whatever you want, alcohol, drugs, sex, you put food in there. You will consume and consume until you consume yourself away into death. And so it's not good to be led, so we need to be led by our spirit. And so David says there's a lot of noise going out around. He goes, but I've learned to settle and to quiet my soul. In other words, like soul, shh, 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 quiet. So that the Spirit can lead. And so I've had moments in my life where I've these emotions are raging on the inside of me, and then my thoughts are growing a million miles an hour, and sometimes there's both going on at one time. And so that's when I need to take a step back and I need to pray and connect with God and to quiet my spirit. And so even this past week, we were in the city, in New York City, we have had a staff meeting. I'm with other pastors talking about how to build the kingdom of God. And as the meeting ended, I knew I had to get back to my parking lot or I was going to get billed extra money for it. And so I'm walking from 34th Street. I got to get to 51st like that. And so I'm walking in, and I don't know if you've been in New York. Like, people walk in New York, there's two speeds. There's this guy, or there's the New York guy like this. And so I'm trying to go, and I get behind this guy. And I'm like, I'm trying to get around him. I can't get around him. And so finally, until I poked my head around his face, and I said, "Would you excuse me?" like that. And then I began to race. And I get halfway by the guy, and I'm like, "Who was that idiot that just was so rude to that guy?" Oh, that was me. So you can tell when your soul gets disquieted, you get a hurried soul. When your soul starts hurrying, here's what happens. People and God get phased out of your life. I'm just waiting for that guy to be at church this Sunday, you know. Would you pray for me, Pastor? You know, and so that's the hurried life. And so here's what God gives us in order to quiet our souls. He gives us Sabbath. That Jesus says the Sabbath was designed for men in order that we might sync up with God. And so God says that we take one day a week where I'm going to allow my spirit and my spirit and God's spirit to connect and to sync up. You know, it's funny, there's native tribes in Africa. One reporter was traveling with his tribe throughout Africa, and it says they were going on this torrid pace through the jungles until they would just stop, and then they would camp out for a couple days. And the reporter, she's like, "Why are we slowed down? I like the other pace we were going at." And they says, we're waiting for our spirits to catch up to our bodies. And so, listen, if there's ever a time for that, it's in 2015. That we take time out and allow our souls to catch up and sync up with our bodies. And you know what? You know what'll happen? Like, physically, if you're going too hard and doing too much, you're going to your body will shut down, won't it? But if your spirit is going a million miles an hour, your soul's going a million miles an hour, there's no shutdown mechanism. And so what'll happen is you won't even know it, and you'll just begin to railroad and wreck your life. And so God, in his mercy, he gives us these moments to sync up with him in Sabbath and in other ways. And so how many have a quiet time? You know, and it's okay. Do people have quiet times where at the start of your day, you need to start your day off? Listen, I'm not telling you what to do, but what I'm saying is you better find time where you can get your spirit synced up with the Lord before you go out into a crazy world. And for me, that's first thing in the morning. That way nothing else can get into that time, but so I can take that moment. And the only thing I can lose is sleep, all right? And so I want to encourage you to do that. And then lastly, I got to close this thing. It says, like a weaned child, David says that he's found contentment in God. Isn't that a weird thing? Like, it's even weird for me to talk about, like, read that scripture like a weaned child, you know? It's always an awkward thing for guys, you know, when you're just the whole breastfeeding thing, and you're kind of like, whoa, and we have all kinds. Like, some women are real bohemian, and they're just kind of out with their stuff like that, with their breastfeeding, and that's uncomfortable for us. And then there's other people that are like, "You're super uncomfortable, you go away." But David's just out there. And I suppose you can talk about this stuff. If you kill lions and bears and stuff with your bare hand, you can still be a man and talk about it. But notice what he's saying there. Is he's saying, I've learned now, as I'm in the presence of God, as I've synced up with God, that now it's not about what God can give me, but it's just about his presence. And that Paul, do you remember what Paul says in Philippians 4:13? He says, "I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me." That David says, it doesn't matter if all hell's breaking loose on the outside, but if I'm good in here, if I have the presence of God within me, that I'm good. And that's the whole life that we want to live and lead out of, all right? Can I pray over us? Lord, we come to you now, and God, I just thank you for this time that we can just spend and gather together. I thank you, Lord, for each and every one that's given of their Sunday and desiring, Lord, I want to sync up with you. And so, Lord, I just pray. I pray that throughout this series, Jesus, we'd find new ways to minister and feed our spirit. God, I pray for those that are just so good at taking care of the exteriors. May there be a newfound zeal to have a healthy and a whole soul. And so we praise you. We thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name.